I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Aotearoa Rugby Podcast. Ross Carl here with James Parsons and Bryn Hall. It was a big day today in New Zealand rugby. Andy Hayden's funeral, all of the greats were there for a man who revolutionised line-out play, who revolutionised professional rugby, really, in the amateur days, pushed it towards more of a professional era. So it was a big thing. One of the things, of course, he's famous for is milking at the line-out after jumping out of that line-out against Wales back in the day. Little-known fact is that he wasn't actually the one who got the penalty. It was the referee penalising a guy for holding down one of the other players in the line-out. All the same, it's kind of topical because, geez, Aaron Smith milked the crap out of that penalty, didn't he, Jipper?
Oh, yeah. Bryn would know more about this than me. You know, he's a classic milker from way back. If my team had lost, I'd be sour, you know, probably. but we won, which, you know, so it didn't really play a part in the end. But, you know, I've always admired the gamesmanship and I suppose the willingness to win at all costs. And I think that's the attitude you should have on the field. I did take note of Crocky's comments, obviously, that it's not in the spirit of the game. And, you know, that's all well and good. But, you know, Aaron, it wasn't even picked up originally. And then, you know, the gamesmanship or great leadership, from Ash Dixon to get him to go back and look at it first and foremost, and then obviously to overturn it. Because he was definitely there, wasn't he? Whether it was the right or wrong call doesn't really factor. And I personally, you know, I don't know, like it's not the end of the world, really. The way I see it, I don't think it brings the game in disrepute. It's been blown up a little bit.
You milk one like that, Bryn?
Oh man, I think it's great gamesmanship, man. I think it's great gamesmanship. I think us halfbacks, they were just wired a little bit differently. So whenever we get a chance and maybe get a penalty here and there, they can kind of turn a match or kind of get a penalty here and there. It's kind of like a win for yourself. But I think TJ's really good at it as well. There's a lot of good milkers in the country. So, it just comes back to the gamesmanship and I guess the competitiveness of trying to get a momentum swing or just trying to get something to go your way. And Nuggie does that pretty well. And I think pretty most nines in the world probably do a pretty good job of milking as well.
Would you get an Oscar for that? Like, he was kind of close.
I mean, that was a good one, wasn't it? I mean, I think he scraped one of his sprigs before he tripped and dropped the ball. And it was sold heavily. And to be fair, it looked like at the time the ref was like, I'm not buying it, carry on. And then obviously Mike Fraser went back and had a look. But as I said before, you know, there was a ruck set and an offside line and Carl was in front of it.
So we are a protected species as well. We are, us halfbacks. So it just kind of keep adding to it. Just keep adding to our species, you know?
How do you do that? What, are there payments being made? Like, this is ridiculous.
I just think it comes back to how competitive halfbacks are. And I think
I reckon there's a perceive that you guys might be small or dainty and that you're not allowed to be touched in and around that ruck. But most of you these days are the bulkiest on the field. You know, like, you're not small lads anymore.
No, I think you're right. It is, I think for whatever reason, the perception of like a halfback is around, oh, you can't read, they must be small. And, you know, they are seen as a little bit like quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, you don't want to touch them or they get penalized. So I think there definitely are ways that we do try and bend those rules and try to help it as much as we can for ourselves. And We know whether that's a penalty or, you know, a lot of it's actually been similar ones, you know, people rolling in a ruck and getting them, they're staying in that ruck and being able to force a penalty that kind of way with gamesmanship. Yeah, I think it does. I think it will continue to be, continue to play, that's for sure.
It's not illegal to pretend to do something on a rugby field, is it? Apart from hookers are the only ones who aren't allowed to pretend.
Like, yeah, man, look, that's unfair in itself, isn't it? No, just joking. But yeah, I mean, it's not illegal. It's part of that gamesmanship. And someone said something today that I thought was quite funny. It must be something to do with the last name, because Cameron Smith, who plays NRL, is pretty good at the old gamesmanship too. But I just think he had a go. He wanted to win a moment for his team, and he won it. Yeah. And it worked, because instead of being 7 points further down, they got 3 points up.
I really wonder what Rhys would think of Nine, seriously. Like, what they'd really think of us around, because we're right next to the ruck, and we're always chirping everything. So I'd be interested to see what their perceptions are of us, actually, and whether they actually dislike hearing the rules or that constant communication that us halfbacks tend to do quite a lot.
What about an anonymous ref poll next year?
An anonymous, yeah. Refs can say who's the most painful.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably actually, yeah. Don't do that, because the two right here probably would be high on that list, having far too much to say.
Oh, absolutely.
The two that I was told last year by one of the referees, it was Aaron Smith and Ryan Crotty, apparently has plenty to say to the refs as well.
Yeah, I'd believe that.
Oh, yeah.
You Ryan certainly pretty, can see yeah. Nagy has a lot to say still, but
folks, that's surprising hearing Ryan. That's definitely surprising. He is pretty switched on in that sense, so I wouldn't be surprised if he did have a wee little trip to the refs. But no, I've never really, I don't think I actually really heard him really. So it's interesting hearing that, actually, from the refs.
He's just smart, isn't he? He's just smart. It's a whisper.
It must be just something that just gets them, eh? Something little here and there. Yeah, that's fair, actually. Go on, you're on.
Dalton, on the other hand, had to run like 70 metres and then turn around and be like, shit.
Yeah, well, you can look at it a couple of ways. So everything's monitored. So for that 70-metre sprint, he's not going to have to do this week at some stage. So it'll factor into his GPS numbers for the week ahead. So he won't, it's not wasted meters and he can go.
Yeah. He did it comfortably, man. Like when he went, I was like, oh, I was just wondering, oh, was that a bit too far? I was like, no, he looks strong. Is he quite quick in the old 10 meter jump?
He's quick on the 10. He's just one of those explosive.
Yeah.
You know, you see the way he carries and he tackles, he does everything at a hundy, and you know, man, he's playing out of the skin at the moment, I reckon. Yeah, there's a lot of guys, I think I saw maybe on one of the Rugby Pass posts today, the turnover leaders for the comp, and it's all non-All Blacks. So there's a lot of young men pushing for spots in that loose forward trio.
Yeah, and guys, I think it was Hoskins Satutu that was the top,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was leading it, and he's missed the last two games. So it shows how good he was going, you know, and I think Aki, you know, he's only played the last three, and he's up there with five.
Mate, he's been impressive. He's been impressive, Jip, Akira.
Yeah,
with Hoskins not being there, but his work, what's really impressed me, mate, his work rate, his second touches, his second efforts, man, it's been real noticeable when watching you guys play.
Yeah, I think it also helps when he's not having to do a lot of the work spread, you know. In past years, we probably haven't had as solid a squad and depth that allowed everyone to just play their role. And when you get that opportunity to do your bit in our system, he's doing that really well. And because the rest of the group's going really well around him, it's allowing these individuals to thrive in the systems that, you know, Rangi's come up with, so that, you know, it suits us as athletes. But yeah, he's going great. But always behind a great tight five there on the weekend, of course. The car
I think we talked about it earlier, Jip, but your scrum, jeez, it was impressive to watch, man. Just dominant. Great arm.
Yeah, it was. Carl is a phenomenon in the scrumming, but even when Alex came on, it was still pretty dominant. So those boys up front are doing a great job. I think at one stage we had Paddy at lock, Jacob Pierce, who's an absolute beast in the scrums, just lives for it. We had Giro Carly Fioti at number 8, Aki at 6, and I think maybe Dalton at 7 was offer Alex and Curdy at the front. That's a fairly big old pack.
Yeah.
Look, it was a good day at the office. So the boys will rest up well this week and look forward to you boys in a couple.
Yeah. Are you supporting, obviously, the Landers this weekend? Everyone's on the Landers this weekend, eh?
Oh, 100%. Well, the Canes will be. We will be. Everyone will want it from a spectacle point of view. But yeah, I mean, they're a class act, the old Crusaders at home. They hadn't lost one for a long time, going back to back. Look, I'll be crossing everything, fingers, toes, the lot, but it'll be a big ask.
Speaking of the Crusaders, Richie Mwanga, Bryn, just continues to just be outstanding. What do we do at 10?
Oh, I'm obviously a little biased because I play with him, but yeah, his form's been outstanding, and I think he's just come back from the pre-COVID, and I guess coming into the competition now, he's just really hungry, and I think it does a lot of things to a lot of players, and I think for him, he's just been continued to lead us really well, and I guess really just trying to take the team to where he wants it to be and where we want to be. And I think the performance that you've seen against the Blues boys, even the Hurricanes when we lost, and then on the weekend against the Chiefs, he's in great form. And I guess for us, it's been able to try and put him in the best positions that we can possible. And you know, I thought our set piece was a lot better this week playing the Chiefs, and just gave us a lot more better opportunities to give guys like Richie a lot more space and the outside backs as well to try and create opportunities. So he's in great form, man. I know Bodie played really well on the weekend as well. It's great to see him back at 10. And I thought the way that he carries the ball and actually was a real threat in the way the Blues played and kind of opened up opportunities for those, you know, Caleb Clark and the likes of those boys. So, no, mate, we're blessed with two great 10s, and, you know, Richie's playing really well, and, you know, Bodie's got another game against us in a fortnight. So, and we're pretty blessed in that respect, mate.
It shows when they're going forward, both of them. You know, he must be wrapped with losing so much experience, I suppose, in that pack, for them to still provide so many opportunities for him to attack, to have that time and space, you know, the discipline in your guys' group as a forward pack to run those consistent tip lines so that he can, you know, pick on that, you know, forward back defender out the back of your forward running pod, bodies in motion, allowing and attracting defenders elsewhere. For him, you know, he makes great decisions, absolutely, and a lot of it is his greatness, but for the amount of injuries you've had and guys that come into the squad, it's been a strength of the Crusaders for a long time that, you know, when one goes down, another steps up. And I suppose that's a credit to you guys and your leadership group and your coaches that the next guy's, you know, they're ready and waiting. And sometimes an unknown that hasn't even played Mitre 10 Cup, you know, they come in and perform at super level. So it's providing him still the ability to play well, I suppose.
I think the biggest thing for us as well is we were hurting as well. Like we, you know, obviously lost at home, and I think when you do lose, you tend to, your prep goes a little bit deeper and the review's a little bit harder, and you don't really brush over things. We don't brush over things usually, but, you know, as Jipper would know, when you lose, you tend to, you know, just really don't leave any stone unturned. And, you know, we were pretty hungry, and, you know, last time we went up to the Chiefs in Hamilton, they did a job on us. So, and we know anytime we play the Chiefs in a Crusaders game, it's tough, and it comes down to moments, which, you know, it's been throughout this competition. So, it was pleasing for us, and you know, like I said, I thought our set piece was a lot better, and excuse me, I think what made a massive difference for us as well is that it was dry. Again, it was dry, and we were actually able to play. We didn't actually kick a lot in the first half. We decided to hold onto the ball a lot more, and that was one of the reasons why for us as well is, you know, you've got guys in their team that want to play a lot of footy. They've got like Damo and a lot of running rugby, so we decided to hold on the ball in the weather dictated that. So,
I was wondering that because, like, you look at the stats the last 2 weeks, and it probably could have been easy for you guys to look at the week before, and I think you kicked around 20 times to the Hurricanes 27.
Yep.
And it was pretty much the same against the Chiefs. Yep. Had you made a change around that purposely around, you know, your kick strategy for both those games? Because there's a evidence of a difference from when you'd play the Chiefs and the Blues to the number of kicks that you put out and the amount you played with the ball in hand.
Yeah, I think when we played the Hurricanes, we probably, you know, we kicked, but because we gave away so many penalties in the first half, probably like 5 penalties, and we didn't win a lot of ball off our set piece. Whenever we did have the ball, we were coming like through our exit zone. So we felt like we weren't playing a lot. So we kind of made decisions to hold on to the ball. And when the Hurricanes had the ball, they were scoring points. So we kind of made an idea to try and hold on to the ball and being able to build phase and try to take out their legs that way. And you know, we probably didn't help ourselves against the Hurricanes because we had too many penalties and our set piece struggled a little bit. But I guess against the Chiefs, probably the defense is a little bit more passive and not as strong as the Hurricanes, and I think the fact that it was dry, we were able to play a lot more due to not as much line speed compared to the Hurricanes. It gave us a great opportunity to attack, and coming back to with Richie and with that dry pitch and those boys running that animation and getting that right, you know, it makes us want to play a lot more. So I think when we do play in Christchurch, it's great for us. We ever have a kicking game, which we love to do, but at the same time we love playing with the ball. And when it is dry, I guess I'd say in the last 2 weeks, we've just tried to hold on to the ball and try and beat teams in that way as well. But still having our kicking game if we feel we need to as well.
So, I mean, speaking of that, the Chiefs' defence, Sam Kane obviously is deemed one of the best defenders in the world. He's copped some stuff this year, which obviously isn't agreed by the players, because the players in the poll respect him and what he brings. Are you surprised? Do people not quite understand what Sam Kane's about and truly appreciate him, Jipper?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I suppose for me, he's hugely respected. I think it probably takes for you to get hit by him to know how good he is. Because he is one of the hardest, you know, hitters out there. But I think it's the reason he's so respected is he's such a team first man. He's not looking for always the highlight packages or anything. It's all about what, you know, what's going to be best for his team, you know, going forward. And he always put himself in those positions. I mean, an example against us is he made one tackle, I think, on Gerard Cowley and got a stinger and was down for about, you know, 2 minutes, and the play came back as well. He stood back up and made a tackle with the exact same shoulder. And I think it's those sorts of efforts that are always going to be appreciated by players so much more than highlight sort of plays, because you know when someone's hurt, if they're going to turn up for you and have your inside and back you up, that's someone you want to follow. And the thing is no different. It comes with the job as All Black skipper. You know, Richie McCaw had it going into the 2015 World Cup. I think Kieran Reid had it a number of times. And it's just, it's no different. And it probably doesn't help that it's coinciding with the Chiefs not going as well. But I think there's no doubt in the All Black selector's mind that he's the best man for the job. And I back that fully as well. Look, he's just, yeah, he's a great player, but he's a great man. And those are sort of people you want to play alongside.
Yeah.
What are dominant tackle stats like his bringing to a team? What does it create for everybody else when you've got someone like that who's so dominant on defence?
I just think it brings confidence. And, you know, whether that be off offset piece or just in general, I think, you know, I've been thinking on the weekend as well, I've almost got my cheekbone almost broken from his hard head. So I think having that kind of, he just imposes himself, and you just know what you're going to get with him. You see him lined up. He's got a great aura, and I guess that kind of feeling about him. So I think having that kind of confidence in someone, whether that be in your defensive line or just seeing a hit or a clean out or a jackal or something like that to get yourself back, your team back in the game, he's a guy that can bring that. Who can bring that. So coming back to what Jipper said, I think it's tough. I think it's tough, and I think the Chiefs season is probably probably detriment to that as well. But for me, mate, there's no qualms about it. He's a great player. He's respected well. And yeah, I think he'll continue to get better with him when he gets into the All Blacks camp and hopefully at the end of this year.
I think
he doesn't know that halfbacks are protected species.
What's that?
He doesn't know that halfbacks are a protected species.
Oh, he got me a goodie on the weekend, mate. So he'll be laughing here at the last laugh. So
I think for me, when you say, what does it bring? It for me, it's all about defense, about getting the ball back and a dominant hit. You know, teams don't want to overplay these days. So if you get a dominant hit early in a defensive set, more than likely you're going to get the ball back via a kick or a turnover at the breakdown. And although he might not get the plaudits for that turnover because he's made that tackle, it's created an opportunity for a Lachlan Boshier or a Mitch Karpik or whoever else to get over the ball, to get the ball back, because that's what you need in a game of rugby is that ball. And so many times, time and time again, he'll be the guy that's made the tackle that allows those turnover opportunities. So yeah. He's certainly added plenty on the field, and I just know great players like that, once they get back in that black jersey, he'll make a statement.
Yeah, it's a real hard one to pick who goes with him. I suppose you automatically would think that Artie would slot into eight.
Would Artie get there? What are you doing? Does he go well off the back of a scrum?
He does, mate. Jeez, he made me. Honest, when that happened, I was like, because we did a bit of funny thing, but we did a bit of preview around it, and obviously you would have seen it. Jeff, he loves doing it off. Actually, most eights in the competition actually are doing it off the scrums, and I called break in, and unfortunately, Kuno had missed. Tom Sanders had missed the kind of break call, and I came across, and I was like, all right, here, I'm either gonna make a good tackle here. Should I go high or should I go low? I'll back myself to try and go high here. And I probably should have gone low because holy heck, man, he absolutely smoked me. Back of my head, saw stars, yeah. And I was like, you beauty, 5 minutes in, how good.
Hey, but you showed the ticket, you chuck yourself there.
He woke me up pretty early as well, so yeah. But
So I think Artie will be there.
It'd be interesting who else they're going to have, man. Like, because I think Dalton as well, the fact that he can play six and seven. Has to be there, and then mate Hoskins as well, and I think Aki is right up there in that discussion. And you think about
Boshier
as well, bro. Yeah. Yeah, exactly, man. So how many would you take, Jip?
I don't know. It depends how big the squad is, because you don't know with this comp or what the comp looks like yet. So it'll be dependent on that. But I think a lot of it might come out of the North South fixture, to be honest. Yeah. There's going to be good numbers for that game, and Super Rugby form will be one thing, but being able to get together in a team, prep well with players that you haven't played with for a long time, different systems, and then to perform on the weekend, I think will go a big way to the All Black selectors going, right, because they're not going to have a big prep window to get guys up to speed. So I think it won't just be, all about the game. It'll be what they do during the week, what that prep, and they'll get a good look, obviously, because both are coached by people in the management of All Blacks. So I think it's from that Sunday they go on to the following Sunday once the game's done will be massive. Every day will count to getting that selection, getting that nod to be in that team.
That must be exciting as well. That must be exciting as well, man. Like if you think about young guys coming through, you imagine, Hoskins or, young guys coming through, they haven't played test rugby before, getting the opportunity to I guess be in a All Black trial kind of setup, man. It'll be I love that idea. I can't wait to see it when it happens, actually.
So what do you do with the North team then? Because almost all of these blokes we talked about are North.
I think there'll be guys they know a lot about. The two that we've spoken about as in, I suppose Sammy and Artie, they know a lot about. It'll be, that is a hard one, to be fair. It's because the bulk of those guys do revert to the North. But they'll be big squads and there'll be opportunities to have bench roles. And as you say, a guy like Dalton's got versatility, so he can cover a lot of spots. And there'll be some tough decisions. I mean, that's the nature of the beast, but that's the beauty of it, is a lot of young guys are putting their hands up for an opportunity in a competition that, I think will be watched worldwide. The All Black brand's huge, so it's going to bring a lot of attention to it anyway. But to have international rugby on TV is going to be huge.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you maybe get a little bit tactical with your North-South team and load the bench and maybe have six forwards on the bench and just two backs so you can have a look at the guys you want to have a look at?
Potentially. I mean, that's things that they'll probably be needing to look at. Or they might just, you know, have an opinion already on some players and they won't get a look in. It's like anything, you know, Eric Rush's famous story is, he made the All Blacks. I think he missed out on a team and his dad said, look, mate, it's only one man's opinion. And then he made the All Blacks and celebrated and his dad turned around to him and said, mate, it's only one man's opinion. So it's a little bit of like that, you know. It does do the players, although there's been many a great player that's performed extremely well at Super Rugby that doesn't get the nod at the All Blacks because that playing style doesn't quite fit the system. So there'll be those sort of thoughts being factored in, you know.
Hmm.
We love a debut, right? And there's going to be uncapped players in this All Blacks. Well, when or if there is an All Blacks team playing November, December, those guys like Aki, who have been waiting so long to get their shot, we're going to see a slight freshness to this team, maybe.
Oh, I'd say there'll be a lot of new faces in and around the squad. How many debutants you won't know until you see how they go, you know. It's not like there's warm-up fixtures. They'll be, you know, the teams that are coming here to play will be, you know, fired up as well. So, and as you know, with All Black environments, the caps aren't given out just to see what you're made of. You're certainly made to earn it. So as you said, in the squad, there'll be a lot of new faces, but if someone gets the nod, they certainly would have done the right things during the week of that North-South game and then obviously in the preparations to get a look.
Bryn, you get a good look at the lineouts. What do you make of these locks? That's one of the places. Obviously, you've got Paddy and Sam Whitelock, but there's probably spots at lock.
Well, I think there's great opportunity. And I think with Brody in Japan and Scooter being injured as well, it's a great opportunity to be a lock for them to come through. But yeah, it's interesting who you go for. You know, you've got I think you've got Quinton Strange and Richard Dunshay in our environment. Then you've got Pari Parkinson's, who's probably a little bit different actually compared to all of them. He's a bigger frame and, you know, probably something different compared to all those other boys. But then you've got James Blackwell as well at the Hurricanes. And are there any young boys? And who's at the Blues? Any young boys coming through there?
Our boy from Harbour, Gerard Kelly Tuioti.
Oh, yeah.
He's going pretty well. You know, talk about dominant tackle stats, work rate, ability in the air. I think he has to be right in the discussion, especially if you listen to Foxy's comments. Is, you know, they've got a lot of grafters. The way they perceive it, there's a lot of grafters around there, but they want, they want a point of difference, that athletic style lock as well. So, you know, Vaya might even come back into the frame there. And as I mentioned with Gerard there, I think he's a real option. You know, he's matured. He's had a lot of experience. I think, Josh Goodhue was performing really well for us before he took a knee knock and had to pull out from the weekend. So I think there's guys that have stepped up. Unfortunately, the one guy that was really going great guns was the young lock, Josh Dixon, from the Highlanders, but he got injured, unfortunately. But he'll definitely be in the conversation once he's back up and running. And my old mate, Scraff, I can't leave him out of discussion. I think he's, again, got a lot of experience. He's been biding his time and, he's a great exponent in the set piece areas. He's always have that ability. I think he's put Geordie Barrett through a number of holes in and around those sort of forward runners to the back. So he's got a skill set about him as well.
What I got from that is you're not too worried about the depth there.
Thrown to a lot of the guys we've spoken about and had to throw against them. And I think in terms of the core roles, there's plenty to go by. But listening to the selectors' voices and Grant Fox and what he said, I think he's wanting to see a little bit more explosive power, a little bit more of that athletic style, Patrick Tuipulotu style of play from someone to really knock the door down and say, I want to be picked. So he doesn't want to just a graft.
If that's the case, then if that's the, I guess, the blueprint of what they're kind of looking for, then who do you think kind of fits that mold with being really explosive? And apart from, if we take Vira, obviously they know what they're going to get with them. Who do you think that explosive person that's floating around in that kind of area?
Oh, for me, it's Gerard. It's a no-brainer. You just got to watch the weekend.
Yeah.
Watch the week before against the Chiefs. You know, he'd been out for, 2 months with a shoulder injury and came back off the bench. Then he started the last two. And I just think defensively, his ability to carry, and I think he's great in the set piece and will only get better in an All Black environment. But I am biased.
You sold me there, boy. You absolutely sold me.
I really like Quinton Strange, though, as well. I've liked Quinton Strange for a long time. I think he's great at Tasman. I think he's got the ability to be a ranging sort of lock.
Yep.
And as we've seen, he's got a bit of fight in him too, even if it is the 80th minute.
He's
got plenty to like as well.
Yeah, he has. I think I've been fortunate enough to play with him the last 4 years, and I guess his growth and, if you think about our locking stocks down south as well, he's not afraid to talk and to give his opinion, and has seen probably one of our leaders in our group. So I guess that tactical side as well, he's pretty knowledgeable and has a really great understanding with rugby as well. So yeah, I think all these guys, even Mitchell Dunshay, who's been probably our unsung hero for us as well. You've got two quality young guys coming through, and he's pretty much been our starter the whole year and does all the nitty gritty, the tough stuff that probably doesn't get noticed. But I think Gerard, like you said, I think Putty as well. I think if you look at his tools and how big he is, and I guess the physicality side of, he's something probably a little bit different. Looks different, is probably a lot taller and a lot bigger. So if you're talking around potential as well, I think Putty would be a pretty good option as well.
I mean, it's hard to look past his height.
Exactly.
As a lock.
Yeah, exactly.
It just has to factor into the decision. You will win clean ball. It's a no-brainer that the Highlanders are, I think, second in lineouts.
Yep.
And it's got to do a lot with him and the other fellow we spoke about in Dixon. But, that height is an easy win against most locks.
Yep.
And they've all got 2 or 3 years of Super Rugby experience, so sometimes a little bit more. So they're not real fresh. They've got a little bit about them.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, I think Paul Quinton Strange has had a bit of an injury. Same with Gerard. And they've been knocking on the door. And, obviously Scooter going down provided an opportunity for Dunshay while Quinton Strange was coming back. But in terms of performance at Mitre 10 Cup level and Super level for a number of years, those two stick out to me personally.
Now, we look forward to this weekend. And we've got the Canes versus the Chiefs, which is obviously a massive game for keeping the Canes in the running. But they're probably out of it, really. Now we're looking at it's whether or not the Crusaders win this weekend and it's all over. Because what we really want is you guys against each other in week 10 in what is basically a final, right?
That would be desirable.
I think for the whole of New Zealand, it would be.
why don't you just drop the game and we can have it,
man? Because you know how dangerous it is coming up to Eden Park with a full 40,000 people.
They will be out in force. Kids free. With every paying adult, should be a packed stadium.
That's a great thing. Like, I mean, in whoever makes these draws, we see it every year in the NRL. We're somehow two of the top teams who are in the running for the top eight somehow end up against each other in the 26th round. So I don't know who makes these draws, but somehow they nail it.
The marketing department. agree though. I don't know if you can foresee it because, I suppose they had a bit of form to go off from Super Rugby normal before COVID, before they came up with this one. But it hasn't worked out just yet. Obviously, Crusaders aren't planning to lose, and us dropping that game against the Canes probably didn't help things either. It would have been a little bit clearer, but look, still in the hunt, still wishful thinking. Crazier things have happened in 2020.
And the Landers are a spoiler team, Brent.
Oh, mate, every time we play them, it's ever since I've been down here and having an understanding of what the, I guess the battle between us and their arch rival and down south. So every time we play them, we know that it's a tough encounter. And, you know, for us, we're bloody disappointed last time we played at home and lost in front of our fans. And, you know, for us, we know that the Highlands are going to, they're always tough to play. It doesn't matter where they are on the table. And like you said, encounter that we always play each other, it's always a tough one. So, yeah, we're playing on Sunday and it's afternoon footy, which we'll enjoy. And, you know, for us, we can't look too far ahead. We've got to take the learnings that we did against the Chiefs. We're fortunate enough to get back in the winner's circle and ticked off a lot of the things that we wanted to that we didn't do against the Hurricanes. And you know, we've got a new focus with the Highlanders. So we always know it's going to be tough and we'll do our due diligence around our prep this week. But, you know, for us, we'd love to win this week and really just have the competition sewed up, if I'm being honest. And then playing the Blues next week. But yeah, for us, it's been able to get the week right, play right, and put out a result on Sunday that we can be happy about.
So you chat about that? I mean, essentially, this can be a final for you.
Oh, it is. And I think, I guess the back end of the tournament, you've got to kind of think that. And obviously with the Blues boys winning and even the Highlanders as well before their bye, we've seen pretty much everyone is important to be in a final, and especially this stage of the competition where, you know, one win or one loss can really dictate where you're going to be in the competition. So I think we've had a pretty good understanding of where we've been sitting and of what's required. And, you know, for us, we know that if we, you know, beat the Chiefs boys, which we did on the weekend, it would have helped us with these next two games. And we've got the Highlanders this week to have an opportunity to try and do that. And, you know, that'll be our only focus going into this week to try and get a win this week.
Has this league format, like with no playoffs, actually changed the way that you approach week by week? I mean, knowing that there isn't the certainty of a top four where anything could happen, you know?
I don't think so, because you gun for that home final. You know, it doesn't matter. You're not going to want to drop any game. But it has probably put a little bit more emphasis on bonus points,
yep.
I think. And obviously before the weekend, the Crusaders were the only team to do the winning bonus point with the tries. So, yeah, look, that also added pressure in terms of the points table. And obviously if you drop one game, you really are chasing your tail, and the importance of those bonus points have probably been more crucial than, you know, if it was into that playoffs arena where anything can happen. I still would have liked to have seen it the top can go to the final and you know, two guy second and third playoff or something like that, but the weeks just didn't allow it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it would have been nice to have a final, a semi-final and final kind of set up, I think, and that would have been the best way to, I guess, as fans, I would have loved to have seen that as well. But I think coming back to just around Robin format and understanding of, like, if you can get a bonus point, especially in a derby game, it's going to help you at the back end. And we've been fortunate enough to get a couple of bonus points where, you know, we're sitting in a pretty good situation because of that. So I guess that's probably the only thing that you'd probably say would be a little bit frustrating, I guess, as a viewer, because you'd love to see one and two that you're playing in a final. So, but yeah, bonus points has probably been the big difference around this competition.
There was an interesting stat on the weekend. I think they showed it during the Chiefs game, where the Chiefs kind of score evenly across the four quarters of the game, but you guys score over 30% of your points in the last 20 minutes. It was quite interesting. Like, is that something that you talk about? Is that part of the game plan? Is that just something that happens because you're fit and you've got class, and eventually that comes forth?
I think for us, we just have a massive, I think if it's 1 to 23, it's not 1 to 15. And for us, we have a real massive mindset around our bench coming on and really adding, you know, trying to come over the top of teams. And, you know, that's our mindset. And to be honest, when we train well, that's the exact same thing that we try and do as well. So it's been a real positive for us probably the last 4 years in Razor's tenure, our bench coming on and really having an impact. So for us, it doesn't really matter if you're 1 to 15 or, you know, 16 or 23. It's really having an idea of what your role is in that moment. And I guess it does help for us because, you know, you are fresh when you do come on, and you know, some teams might not put their bench on early like we do, but we have a massive pride in our bench coming on and been able to have put teams under a lot of pressure, and then with us being a little bit fresher as well, we can come on and probably see the game a little bit differently with what we've been seeing, and can have an influence on the game, whether that be at set piece, individual brilliance, or something just in general. So now we do try to, we talk about a lot, and it's been a massive, massive part of our game probably the last 4 years.
How do you train that?
Well, because we're like, you obviously have your starters that start, but you know, throughout the week, it doesn't really, there's not one team that stays on the whole time. So the whole, everybody's getting the same amount of reps. Probably the starters get a little bit more, but you know, to be honest, everybody's running in exactly the same time. So you're getting the same amount of volume, amount of time, understanding of what's required in that game, and our prep, the prep as well. When you prep well and you've got a good understanding of what your role is, it makes it a lot easier when you're on the field and you're prone to not making mistakes, and you can really help and benefit the team when you're in that kind of mindset.
Is there a similar approach at the Blues?
Yeah, look, I think the way you train it as well is, you know, a lot of that last training session is game-like, game intensity, and you want to see the energy, accuracy, and spark lift when those changes are theoretically made at training. And there's a big focus when you're on the bench exactly around that, getting your prep right, but also making sure that when you come on, you nail your role, but you lift the boys that have been out there for 60 or 50 or 70, however long, and you become the energy guy. Not over aroused, not doing too much, do your job, but also, you know, bringing guys with you that might be cramping up or around that. So there's certainly a, you know, tactic from us in the way we train in that game, like intensity on that Thursday for a Saturday game.
I think there's also an understanding as well around, I think you can make the mistake if you do want to come off the bench that you want to try too much and you want to try and, I guess, like Jipper said, being over-enthused and being able to probably do too much. So I think coming off the bench has a massive part around, like what we've said, it's nailing your role. Yes, you can be the energizer bunny and being really energetic, but at the same time, having a really good understanding of how the game is going. You know, some game it could be open and free flowing, and you know, it's a really good game for you to come on in that sense. But at the same time, it could be a wet game, and your mindset has to change around what that looks like. And it's having an understanding of the game, the gamesmanship, and understanding of how the game is going and what's required of you in that particular moment.
Yeah, and I think that's that mental prep that you are probably going to be involved in the big moment.
Yep.
The key moment. If you're on the bench, you have a responsibility to finish the game out, and more than likely, out of the eight guys that are there, they will have to play a role in the moment that decides the game. And so we've seen it time and time again. If there is a guy that's over aroused, you know, eager on defence and gives the penalty away, or flops off his feet at ruck time, or just anything like that, can, you know, kill your momentum or turn the game into a loss pretty quickly.
Yep, 100%.
You're both in positions that really are into that. Like, I mean, Jip as a hooker, obviously, lineouts towards the end of games can be the winning and losing of games. And for you, Bryn, you know, halfbacks, I suppose, dictate the way the game is played a lot. Jip, was that something that you learned to get that energy right? And what were the lessons in getting the energy right when you come on to try to finish it off?
I think for me, it was around that mental prep and preparing throughout the week. And understanding that challenge is coming and be excited by that challenge rather than trying to hide from it. It's a reality. It's likely to happen, and putting it in your prep around, you know, your visualization and doing it at training, wanting to be put in that position at training and that match intensity, and, you know, your confidence grows from there. And then, you know, once you're out in the game, you just have to pull trigger. You can't go out there and think, oh, this is a big moment. You just say, you know, you've got to acknowledge, right, this is the challenge I've prepared for. Let's get out there and, you know, pull trigger and have a crack. So I think that's been the biggest shift as I've got through my career, is that mental prep is more important than, I suppose, doing 100 reps a day of the same thing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think that's fair as well. I think just that point's pretty much spot on. I think it's the things that I've probably learned around, as I've just alluded to, it's just the understanding of the situation and how the game's going. And I think... I guess early on in my career, you could almost, like, if you're on the bench, you'd look at the game, but you wouldn't look at how the flow and what's required and what's really going on. So I think when you do come on, you have to have an understanding again, like what's required of you, what kind of game it is. And then if you get your mental prep ripe and you've got all that kind of homework done, then you can be decisive. But I think especially in big games and big moments, the understanding of the ebbs and flows of how the game's going is pretty important, having an understanding around that.
Is it one thing that keeps you fresh, Bryn? Because I suppose you and Mitch kind of trade back and forth with starting and coming off the bench. Does it keep you fresh knowing that you get a mixture of those two roles regularly through the year?
Yeah, it is. It's so like, you're right. It's an understanding. So like for us, we know that predominantly we might play, you know, maybe 55 at the most, or then eventually come on, we'll come on and finish off a game. So I think it is a little bit different. You've got to have an understanding of your roles a little bit different. So, you know, we're both competitive and, you know, both want to be playing as much as we can. So, but yeah, I think it comes back to, I guess for us, of how successful we've been. I mean, both players, we trust each other, and doesn't matter who comes on, the expectations are exactly the same. And I think it's been a real asset to our team with how both of us have been going the last probably 3 or 4 years.
I was going to say, you don't share that 9 jersey too much. Finally gave the guy a lick on the weekend.
Fair, actually. Yeah, it's fair. Yeah. Yeah, we're too competitive. We're all competitive, eh? So, yeah, it's good though.
Did you set up that camera angle, Bryn, just to get your guns looking as big as they possibly can?
Nah, man. No way. Still got to work on it, eh? Tom, actually, my flatmate, Tom Chris. My flatmate, Tom Chris, actually.
You can see he keeps pushing them, eh?
He loves doing it. He's actually just looking at him right now. He's got his chest popped out and actually has his guns out. So he does a guns. What, Tom, what do you do? Gun session how many times a week? Twice? Yeah, he does it twice a week. So yeah, he's looking good at the moment. So what are your skinnies at as well, boy? What are you at, 50? Yeah, 50. What are you at, Bill? 40? Yeah. Will Jordan needs to eat more. He's like 37, so there's nothing on him. But he's big though. Big legs.
Who's the worst for the vanity workouts? You know, like the stuff that's not functional.
Oh, mate. I'd have to say, Tom's the one who probably, he loves doing the arms. He's always in there every day doing arms. So, Will, what does Will do? He's probably not as much. I'd probably say Tom, actually. Tom in our flat. He's a big fan of doing the arms and chest and arms. Eats like a horse as well, so eats a lot. So, yeah.
Mate, there's no doubt for us. It's Tom Robinson, Kurt Eklund, Marcel Renata. The three of them just live for tin.
Mate, Tom Robinson
absolutely loves beach muscles.
Can you get Tom Robinson a jockey ad? He's got to be up for the jockey ad, man. If he's ever an All Black.
His rig.
Oh, man. His rig's unbelievable.
Yeah. He eats like a horse. It's just, he's a freak.
Yeah. Cootie Eklund's got some pops on him, eh?
Mate, him and Marcel train the house down. Like, they both squat like 220, 230. Bench like 170, 180.
Yeah.
They froth for the tin. Yeah. I said to them the other day, you wait till you've played 60 or 70 games. I said, you'll be avoiding these gym sessions in a hurry.
Can't take
any
pieces.
I hear gym sessions, I start creeping to the back. A few ghost sets.
Power sessions, eh, boy?
No, I don't even do the power sessions. I'm a bit of a beach tragic too. I don't mind chucking a few sculpting sessions in during the week.
Is Tom Robinson, is he even Etzebeth like? I mean, how crazy big are we talking?
Oh, he's just ripped. Like, there's like muscle on muscle. Like, it's just a phenomenal rig. It's hard to explain. You just have to see it. It
sounds like you're admiring it a lot,
mate.
Oh, you get an opportunity to, because he doesn't wear a shirt in the gym. Just he loves getting his shirt off. He knows it's good.
Scott Barrett's got an unbelievable rig as well, actually. Oh, man. Yeah. I think I see that a lot of times, actually. He's due for jockey ad, actually. Surely.
Mate, are you sponsored by jockey?
Come on, mate. I don't have a body like Scott Barrett, that's for sure, mate.
Jeez. Oh, mate, you just plugged them twice.
Nah, mate, not me. I'm too scared to do that. There's no way I'd be able to do that, man. Nah, don't have a good enough body to do that.
Just stick with Benny's Barbers, eh?
Oh, mate. Benny's Barbers, mate. That's it. 101 Disraeli Street.
And while you're up on the shore, go to North Harbour Ford.
These guys better get more money for these jockey ads. They can't just do that for free. Like, that's, you know, a wee tidy-whitey on it.
Depends what their personality is. Like, some would happily. I don't think you'd have to convince Tom with any dollars. I think he'd do it happily.
Is he a single man as well, Chip, by the way?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. It's just set up for him to be awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. We'll get him a couple of All Black caps and I'm sure they'll get him in there.
Yeah.
This is those gang of locks combined with the rig. It's sure to be a cult hero with the lady.
Oh, you're taking some boxes, surely. How can you not with a rig and a hairdo like that?
I think it's his chat as well. He's got good chat. Confident man.
Mm. Yeah. And it's very socially aware by the sounds of it. He loves a beach and he loves to clean up a beach. So he covers all of the things. He's got a big heart, got a big rig.
Chuck him on the Bachelor.
He's really into politics too. He covers everything. Like he's a student. He's smart. I think we're selling him, overselling him.
If there's ever a Bachelor, man, imagine that. He'd be like, who's the guy
He'd be like Honey Badger. He'd be like,
yeah, I was just going to say, he'd be like that.
Be great entertainment.
Yeah.
Good TV.
Three new, or what is it? Was it on? Three, Channel 3? Channel 3 or Channel 2? Come on, get him on there. Get him on there.
Yeah.
Get the big red
door. You guys would be contestants to try to get him by the sounds of it.
I'll get a rose happily from him.
I'm a taken man. Sorry, Ross. But...
I'll happily take a rose from him for sure. Come on. Come on, big red. Choose me. Choose me.
Are you allowed a man crushing another rugby player?
Oh, mate. It's a massive advocate for him. Just look at him. How can you not?
I reckon that's a good way to finish it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.